Friday show. It was a big one. A really interesting can of worms today. Very divisive, wasn't it?
Yes. Can you get fired for a bad joke? And the closest result we've ever had.
Mm. Who's the worst comedian you've ever seen, Moon?
Interesting.
Gee, well, it's a big field.
Yeah, it's a very fraught and it's a huge field.
Well, you
field,
suggested yeah. today that Rove was up there, didn't you?
Oh, well, Bobby Shriekman.
Bobby
Shriekman, yeah.
Who's Rove's, Barry Shriekman?
Barry Shriekman's his brother. Was once the lead singer of the Bee Gees, but then got sacked for Barry Gibb.
The wrong Barry.
We spoke to Scafie too with the supercar starting this weekend in Adelaide.
You took the first steps, Moon, to getting the crap beaten out of you by Lee Matthews. If he ever finds out that you're impersonating him, you are
Listen, Marto, I know that Lawrence is doing it, you know, 10 out of 12 times I would beat the guy, but I'll give him a chance here because he is new to Brisbane radio.
You're going to get beaten up by a 60-year-old man.
Yeah, but I do sound like this, so maybe Loz has got half a chance.
Enjoy the catch-up. See you on Monday.
I would like to think that I'm a bloke who's evolved enough not to constantly say, oh, the world's gone crazy, it's PC gone mad. But there's a case surrounding a young performer called Lyndon Fennell, who is in a show called American Idiot. It has already been in Brisbane, I think, last year.
Yes, it was.
And it is, in fact, produced by the Queensland Performing Arts Association, so it's touring the country. Anyway, Lyndon Fennell is the lead in American Idiot, and it's kind of a tribute to Green Day and punk rock, and he has just been sacked by the company. Now, he was sacked because a female co-worker made a complaint about Lyndon because he made an inappropriate comment about a period. Okay, he made a comment about bleeding or menstruation.
Oh, great.
And
he got sacked for
cool,
that.
Not a cool thing to do, and he got sacked for it. The woman made a complaint to the production company, and they have got a zero tolerance policy, and he was sacked in accordance with that policy. Wasn't warned.
Zero tolerance.
Tolerance
to what?
To sexual harassment or making a workplace unsafe for a fellow worker.
Unsafe.
Now, this is a woman who has said that his inappropriate joke made her feel uncomfortable and thus feel unsafe in the workplace. Whoa. Now, this young bloke, who has probably worked all of his career to star in a show like this, wasn't warned.
He so this
wasn't
is first time.
Reprimanded or punished. Wow. He was sacked outright for a dumb joke. And I reckon this has gone way too far now.
Okay, hang on. Can I ask, did she ask for him to be sacked? Do you know? Like, was it, did she go to management saying, can you just tell him not to do that because that makes me uncomfortable? Or did she go to management going, I feel completely unsafe and therefore this guy needs to go?
That is unclear in the story.
So he's made a poor joke and being
he's made a
for
really
it.
Dumb, ham-fisted, possibly quite offensive joke about menstruation, as I said. Don't want to use that
boring
word again.
We know, we get it.
We get it. Okay, so what the company has said is we've got a zero tolerance to this. We feel that it's making the workplace unsafe, but I reckon it's just a knee jerk because now theatre companies, off the back of the Craig McLaughlin situation, off the back of the Jeffrey Rush situation, are just not wanting to be embroiled in any sort of controversy, and so they're reacting too harshly, and this is wrong. I mean, you can't have someone in a workplace just go, oh, he made me feel a bit uncomfortable and I feel a bit unsafe. Okay, you sack me.
No,
it's
okay.
Too much.
It's okay,
incredible.
If that's how it is, I agree with it. The only other thing I would like to know, I just feel like there's got to be more to this story. Do you know, is there company policy about this?
This is company policy. They've said that he had obviously signed a contract and he was aware of company policy. The producers said they believe Mr. Fennell's dismissal was essential to guarantee a safe workplace and has handled it in accordance with their terms of a zero tolerance policy.
Right, this becomes a precedent now. This will start sweeping through all workplaces. They'll go, well, it's happened before. This is where it's going to be now.
If that was the case, Robin Bailey, you could have had me sacked 35 times since January, you know.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what? No, because I think this is really important to differentiate. And I think blokes are actually really confused a lot of the time.
Of course they are.
Yeah, because you don't know where the boundary is. For me personally, it's your intent. If you're just having a joke, which mean you do all the time, we could never air the things that we talk about during the songs because they are so hilarious and possibly someone else might find them offensive. However, your intent is you're a funny bugger and you're not out to hurt anyone, right?
So, but that's what this bloke
was
doing.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, and this is the problem. And the only thing I would say in the defence of the company is if this guy signed a contract and he knew that that was part of the deal of the contract, then what else is the company going to do?
He made a reference in an improvised and off-mic exchange with a fellow cast member, Phoebe Panaritos, and he was said that the sacking was in response to a single incident. So she's obviously taken offence.
One
he said
thing.
That he's done something stupid. But now that young bloke is left with his career in ruins and possibly going to find it hard to be rehired.
All right, let's crack this open.
The Big Breakfast. Ooh. Can of worms.
It's happening. The Moon Man is stating you shouldn't be sacked for a bad joke.
And in answer to your question, Robin, did the woman, Ms. Panaritos, seek his sacking? She said no. No dismissal was sought or anticipated.
So it's the company freaking out because of all the stuff that's happening.
It's just a crazy knee-jerk by this mob.
But she's the one who said, I'm offended. Like, can we stop with this culture of, I'm offended by this? Oh, no, grow up and toughen up.
I think you have to be able...
Or just say it to the person that said the joke. Just say, listen, Lyndon, don't be a dick, mate.
No. If someone feels...
Why can't you grow up as a human? You're an adult.
Because if someone is feeling intimidated, then they need to be able to seek the support of someone higher above. No, but that doesn't mean you have to be sacked. But I think there has to be due process if someone's feeling uncomfortable.
All right. Let's get to the phones. Davo from Maruka, where do you sit on the subject? You shouldn't be sacked for a bad joke.
Well, look, I'm not sitting, I'm standing because I'm furious. I don't think you should be sacked at all. It's like this with Craig McLaughlin. You've just mentioned him, and that's a shame. I thought you guys were better than that because I don't think that he's done anything wrong. He hasn't been found guilty in any court.
That's true, Davo.
It's the word of some people in the newspaper who should be investigating corrupt politicians more than they should be picking on a successful stage actor.
Good talk call, Dave.
Well, I mean, it is before the courts and we will see where that comes down. But that's happening with Craig McLaughlin is it's setting a precedent. But thank you. And Brianna of Nunda, what do you reckon?
I reckon he crossed the line. He knew he crossed the line. He signed the contract. And as women, we have to stand up and say, here's the line, blokes, do not cross it. And he did so. Where do we start and finish with this, you know? This is what Me Too is all about. You know, women standing up.
What's going to happen is no one will want to have any dealings with anyone like this like this girl. Like no bloke will want to talk to her ever again because they'll be so scared of their position.
Female workers, her co-workers are unasked. Quietly celebrating what she did. How do you know that? You don't know that. And you're making sweeping statements saying his career is ruined. Bollocks. He's a young man. He'll go and get another job.
Oh, well, he has been sacked by one company for inappropriate behaviour in the workplace, Brianna, so that's going to stand on his record.
Adam of Deegan, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's beyond a joke. I think, and what Brianna just said about him going to get another job, it's so public that he's not going to with any ease. So we live in a world where, you know, a lot of females these days spend all their time on Instagram showing themselves off wearing next to nothing, but yet they don't want any attention for it.
Yeah, but those aren't necessarily the same women.
They're not the same
You've got
ones,
to be very careful.
I'm not suggesting that. I just think in general these days more and more people are supposedly offended, especially by things that aren't even related to them.
Adam, you're a bit confused about where we stand as blokes, what we can and can't do and say?
Oh, definitely. 100%.
Let me ask, as the woman in this room with all you guys, and Adam, you as well, what do you think should happen? If a female is feeling uncomfortable and that she's feeling that what is happening around her is not appropriate, how do we deal with it? And let me just use the caveat that you don't feel comfortable confronting the person who's doing it. What do we do?
I think if that person's uncomfortable, then they speak to their management or whoever and then have a meeting about it.
The guy gets cancelled.
You push the line.
See, that guy's obviously not clear that that's, he might have signed a contract, but he probably didn't even read that line. So he needs to be told, mate, you can't do this. You're an idiot. You don't sack him. And if he does it again, then you can go.
Okay, so the mistake in your mind for this situation is that the company have decided that the course of action is sacking rather than saying we need to navigate this and give him a second chance.
Yeah, I reckon you're spot
that's
on there.
That's pretty
Robin.
Good.
I mean, really and truly, they've knee-jerked and sacked a bloke over it. What is obviously a demeaning and offensive joke about a woman's cycle, and she didn't like it, but she didn't expect that to happen.
Very true.
They've taken
it's a change in the world.
Some very most severe action responses on 133353, and thank you for them. Either way, it was a very close one, the closest we've had all year, actually. It got to 60% of people, though, saying that he shouldn't have lost his job. He shouldn't have lost his job. No. So thank you for your responses.
There's going to be a lot more of this.
It's the Big Breakfast. He's our man with all the Hollywood guys.
It's Bobby Shrinkman. Oh, we do love our Bobby. Good morning.
Good morning, Robbo. Oh, Friday. You can see my attitude saying, hello, Moon Man. Hello, Marto. And how are you, little Brendo? You champion.
Oh,
I'm talking to you guys.
We were warned that you wanted to talk about Tori Spelling. She's had a breakdown.
I'm sitting here in my big chair wearing my muumuu and I want to talk all about Tori. She called 911 saying there was a break-in, turned out to be her husband, Dean McDermott. Cops turned up. She was aggressive towards them. Oh, Tori, you're losing it, doll. She's just had her fifth child. She's in financial difficulties, ordered to pay back US $220,000, and she's losing her mind.
Wow. Keep an eye on
Tori. Now, I really love on the 911 dispatch, she was described as a female with a possible mental illness, not a possible female with a mental illness. Tori, she's not pretty, is she? I'll tell you what.
Shriek,
looks like a fish.
Okay. And, Shriek, can we bring it closer to Australia? You see one of our great talents, Rove McManus. He's getting a new TV show with Joel Creasy.
Someone has thrown little Rovey a bone. One of the great talents. Hilarious. I remember all those great jokes by Rove McManus, like, anyway, Rove's hilarious. He's just fabulous. Please give him a chance. 10 years on Rove. I mean, he's a producer of the project. Every time that thing goes to air, cha-ching. He did the one on Doctor Who. Remember Whovians? Ooh, brilliant. And now he's got his own movie show with Joel Creasy, one of my close friends. I call him Joel Greasy.
Bobby. What about Cher? She's just arrived in Australia.
Oh, if I could turn back time, if I could find a way. Oh, Cher, you're rotten old bag. Love her, though. She's gone all Me Too. Hashtag Me Too on Donnie Trump. And he's barred her off Twitter. Ooh, the big man. Once you get dumped by Donnie on Twitter, it's a good day for everybody. But I love Cher. Keep going, doll. You're one of our heroes in the gay community.
Remember when she hopped on that cannon?
Have a rocking weekend.
He's going.
Bye, Bobby.
Shrieky
bye,
Shriek. The Big Breakfast. Sports all in. A story on the back of the paper and also a few pages in about Jonathan Thurston, just, really happy that he got through his first game, and they talk about that. I got a text message yesterday at 11 a.m. from a well-connected league source. I don't want to give his name out. He just goes, hey, mate, you heard it here first. Apparently, Thursto hasn't ruled out doing an Alfie and playing in this year's Origin Series if the shoulder is good.
Hasn't he already walked away and
he's already retired
had
from Origin? No, he hasn't. The testimony was just a NRL thing.
Okay.
That's okay.
I don't know how
he
this
said,
works.
I'm not playing Origin anymore. Well, he was injured.
So
last
the testimonial is just to celebrate his glittering career.
Yeah, that's not a full stop. He always said, I'll play the full club season. But apparently now he's gone, you know what? Because I didn't really. He missed out on Origin last year. So he wants to get stuck in for one more time if the shoulder's any good.
Okay.
It's like Monday morning, Robin, when you swear off the booze. That's it. I'm never touching it again. And by Thursday, you think, no, I reckon
good.
I can have another go. I reckon I can have another crack at this. I'm good to go.
All right, keep an eye on that one. And Darren Lockyer, is that really hair?
What?
Darren Lockyer's head. What's well, going on?
Back.
Okay, well done, him. He's probably paid it someone a lot of money.
So you reckon his hair said, I'm not going to play anymore, and went, nah, no, I'm going to have another crack. Now, Thursto, of course, plays every game in a helmet, which he gives away to a kid at the end of the game. Controversy last night in the AFL when Malcolm Blight, one of the glory men of the game, said that in 5 years, every AFL player will be wearing a helmet. And this has stirred up a lot of controversy. And he's saying that it
a
won't be
compulsory. A helmet or headgear, Moon? What is he saying? Like a he hard said, helmet like NFL or a soft headgear like Jonathan?
He did draw a parallel between the NFL saying nobody thought it was possible. And then in 1943, all of a sudden, every NFL player was wearing a helmet. He said helmet, but he's probably alluding to that soft headgear.
Yeah.
And he said it won't be compulsory from the player's point of view, but from clubs being risk averse and trying to indemnify themselves against damages. Because at the moment, we're in the middle of a thing in the AFL where Nicky Winmar is seeking damages for brain damage caused by concussion. So maybe that's right. What do you reckon, Marto? Is the headgear any good? Does it work?
It doesn't work. Yeah, it's been proven by headcare. What do you call headcare specialists?
That'll do.
Trauma.
Neurologists
and stuff, that it doesn't have any impact. If you're getting a connection, it absorbs a little bit of the direct blow because the padding's only 10 mil thick. But it's the brain moving inside the head that's the big thing. It's the deceleration, acceleration of the head. It's not that.
So even the NFL crash helmet doesn't protect that?
Well, have you seen their evidence of concussion? Mate, this concussion's going to be enormous in the next few years, and it's now. Yeah, that's why everyone goes, oh, how come those two blokes got sent off? Rugby's making a real thing about you cannot touch the head. AFL's really serious about going nowhere near the head too.
Absolutely, and one of the great advocates of protecting the head is your mate Lee Matthews.
Yeah, you know, I played pretty tough when I was playing AFL, and sure, I made contact with the head, but now it's about all protecting the head, Marto. And you've got to. When we saw that clash by Robbie Gray, why did the Port Adelaide Power actually, you know, contest that? That's $10,000 of their own money. I mean, I'm against it.
Well, you do that well.
That is
well
the best Lethal Lee I've ever heard. Bring him back sometime.
Yeah, okay, we will. He'll be a part of the show all this year when we talk AFL. Because, you know, Sam Kavanagh, he's gone now.
Okay, that's really
legend,
annoying.
Saturday morning.
You have to stop now.
Hey,
listen, I'm gone.
I'm so keen when I see Lethal to go, have you heard Lawrence Mooney taking the piss out of you on Triple
No,
F? You are in so much trouble.
Do not tell him.
Let's finish on swimming because, of course, the Commonwealth Games trials were happening at the Southport Pool last night. The two big stories came down to the Campbell sisters. Kate Campbell and her sister Bronte came in number one and two in the 100-metre freestyle, so therefore putting to bed all of that stuff that happened in Rio where they were world champions and then neither of them got medals.
I'll never forget how disappointed I was in them.
Yeah, I don't. They're lovely. Don't be disappointed in them anymore. Okay, but the one person that I was super interested in was James Magnussen because he has kept himself in the news. Remember during the Winter Olympics, he sprouted up again saying, hang on, why aren't we giving these Olympians a hard time? You gave me a hard time.
How'd the missile go?
Well, this was what he was saying to camera before the race.
The fact that I didn't have the Olympics that I wanted to have and that it's taken me some time to recover from that surgery, I feel like I've really got a point to prove to myself. So I've personally placed a lot of importance on this Commonwealth Games and I guess I want to repay the faith that my support team and friends and family have shown in me as well.
Sorry, mate. Came
Why do we have such a... Oh,
he's going to have to buy some tickets,
eh? Hate. Sorry, go. He came in fourth.
Yeah, he's in his pet event, the 100-metre freestyle, he's come in fourth, which means he won't swim it as
an
individual. Probably.
You're 26 years of age. You go look at a black line your whole life and all you're going to do is a little relay.
Yeah, and that'll be the end of... Don't call him a loser. Stop it.
At what stage do you took a look around at your life and go, I've been wearing my undies to go for a swim each day. That's my life.
Sounds like a loser to me. It's quarter past six.
Have a look at yourself, missile.
Harsh.
It's a big breakfast.
Can we have a quick look into the universe of the Trumps, like the whole family, not just talk about Donald for a second? Mm-hmm. Can I run through the whole thing? Now, this is this week. All of these grabs will be from this week, okay?
Okay.
So Donald Trump first up. I think some people may have heard this, but this is him again talking about that school massacre and what he would have done if he was outside on duty.
You know, I really believe you don't know until you test it, but I think I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon. And I think most of the people in this room would have done that too.
It's easy to say if you think about it. He wanted to clarify something. Yeah, how he said, oh, we'll give teachers guns. No, that's not what he meant.
I don't want teachers to have guns. I want highly trained people that have a natural talent, like hitting a baseball or hitting a golf ball.
I actually want golfers outside here, like just with their one
right, just teeing off into the side of a nutbag's head. Why not set up a whole driving range next to a school, and if they see someone with a gun, they just
around.
Turn.
Ding, 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 ding.
Now, he's insane.
He is insane.
The whole family's mad, obviously.
He's an
Imagine
animal.
A night out with them. But why did he send that daughter? What's his daughter's
Ivanka.
Name? Ivanka. He sent her. She is described, I saw her talking the other night, described as a senior White House advisor.
Yeah. What's her credentials? Oh, that's my dad.
Oh, my God. Here she is here. Oh, some bloke was getting up her about it, her old man.
I think it's a pretty inappropriate question to ask a daughter if she believes the accusers of her father when he's affirmatively stated that there's no truth to it. I don't think that's a question you would ask many other daughters. I believe my father. I know my father.
Oh, my God. They're asking doinking around.
I really hate that kind of voice that doesn't change tone and sounds a little bit self-righteous about my father and a little bit patronizing, a little bit rich.
You have nailed
it. It's that. Like, can you please shut the fuck up?
You got Donald Trump. You got her.
Okay, this is what I'm looking forward to. I've never heard the wife speak before.
Melania. I've never heard her speak. You remember the
she's
great
a robot.
Job? Well, Michelle Obama, she used to
Chat with Oprah often.
Oh, how beautiful was she and wonderful.
Lovely.
And look what they've got now.
I have been heartened to see children across this country using their voices to speak out and try to create change. They're our future and they deserve a voice.
Well, that's a good thing to talk about. I mean, I'm fully supportive of that, but
that's what she sounds like.
Are you being critical of my father's wife? Because I think that's wrong. I mean, who are you people? Triple M Brisbane. I mean, I never listen to that station.
What an annoying bunch.
I don't know if you guys will find this interesting, but check out page 3 of the Courier Mail and you see two dudes are right at the top of the spire of Australia's tallest building, the Q1. You know the Q1 down the coast?
Yeah.
We were there the day it opened in 2005, and for the first time since that day, they had to change the light bulbs on the top of it, 322 metres up.
Oh,
and
scary.
You look at that photo and tell me that's not freaky. One of those guys is Kane from KTR Group, and he's with us now. Kane, how are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you.
Oh, mate, I've seen the video. That is just extraordinary. Can you tell everyone listening who's been past Q1 and knows how high it is, how did you get up to the top there?
By a very long ladder.
No.
Really?
Yeah, no, there's a ladder that goes all the way up the inside.
Thick enough for you to go on the inside. Is that how you got up there?
Yeah.
But there's two of you. Did you go up to get, like, one before the other?
We're very close brothers.
I bet you are.
Nah, so we climb up one by one and then sort of fiddle around at the top to get through the little hatch.
Obviously, you're clicked on at the top there, wearing harnesses. How does it feel when you're on top of the world, Ma, looking down on creation?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's almost like being in a helicopter. You're that high. It's a pretty good view of the Gold Coast.
So what did you have to do? It says in the paper you had to just replace an LED bulb up there.
Yeah, so the old light's been there for 12 years. It still works. No problems, but they just wanted to upgrade it to make sure that it doesn't ever lose power and they've always got a light on top.
Is that a flashing aviation warning light?
Yeah.
Is it windy up there?
Yes, it was. So the first day we had to set up all our safety equipment. We had gusts of wind at 65 k's an hour. Because there was a storm predicted for the next day.
Oh, God. But you're a rigger, so you're up these sort of heights, or not that high, but often up at huge heights, aren't you?
Yeah, all the time, all the time.
So do you look down and you don't get terrified?
I wouldn't say don't, because the first time you look over, you kind of go, whoa. But after a few minutes, you get used to it, and another day.
Hey, you know, you're a coast boy. You know how often that spire gets hit by lightning. What is it black, or what does it look like up there?
The top of the spire has actually got another small pole that sticks up as a lightning rod.
Yeah.
And the top foot is completely black, and it looks like someone's hit it with a welder a number of times. It's crazy how much power would have been in the lightning that hits it.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
What do you do for fun? Like, this seems pretty crazy. What do you do on weekends to really cut loose?
I actually race as a cyclist.
Something closer to Earth.
Yeah. Something right on the ground.
All right, Kane from KTR Group. Changed the warning light at the top of the Q1 building yesterday. You're a good man. Thanks for joining us, brother.
Thanks, heaps.
I need your opinion on stuff, boys, because, you know, you grown men have a very different take on relationships. And I have learnt a couple of things from Married at First Sight. It wasn't on last night, so I've had way too much time to think. Anyway, the lessons cometh from the mountain from NASA and Gabby. Now, he's the 50-year-old bloke. She is the lovely lady with alopecia. If you have been casually watching the show, they're the two I'm talking about. Okay.
Alopecia the name of her cat?
No.
No, I know.
Didn't all her hair fall out when she was 9 years of age or something?
Yeah, she had it went to her parents. You have been watching.
Okay, I asked Kath, who's that?
No, you have. Okay, so
they
observation
haven't been doing
one.
It, have they?
They did it once on their honeymoon.
Oh, no. Well, good on them.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you're actually asking these questions. Okay, the first thing that I have recognised as a relationship lesson from Married at First Sight is when put in a tight situation, men react, women reflect. So here is NASA going back to Gabby's house, and in an instant, he overreacts.
My home state. As soon as I walked into this place, I hated it. I busted out, went to the Meriton. I'm telling you, it's like the evil eye casted on that place.
Okay, so is that true? Do you think in a tight situation, women go into their heads and think, if I do this, then this will happen.
Well, I don't know what women do, but you're right about
that. Do men just instantly go knee-jerk, I'm out of here?
A lot of them do, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon you probably more often than not, the man is the emotional response. And then once the heat's gone out of the situation, then they reflect and think, probably shouldn't.
Doesn't take long, though.
Okay, that's good. That's a good lesson, number one. Number two.
They don't stew.
Yeah, no, clearly we do.
More a quick cook, like put the barbie on high and just sit rather than putting in
it's flash. Yeah. Boom, the pan.
It's not like pulled pork, where sort of a steak.
So what should we do in that situation? We should just let you just explode and then
we'll be
not
back.
Okay,
we'll
right.
You know, one of the ways that Lou has, I reckon it's brilliant, is empathise, helps to run the situation out. If a man's really angry, you go, God, that must have really upset you. And then they go, yeah, well, bloody did. Well.
And that's it. That's a good sum up.
Okay, good.
Yeah. What's the next one?
Number two, do not, under any circumstance, and this is something that I think is relevant for all women to keep in the back of their minds, do not, under any circumstance, publicly humiliate a man. This is how NASA reacted.
She nitpicks. You do this, you do that, you patronise me. I didn't say anything. I didn't sign up for it to be abused. My personality's big, you know, and she hates it. She put me down there on the couch. She put me down.
You don't like to be publicly humiliated.
I reckon that cuts both ways. No one likes to be publicly humiliated. If I ever see somebody's partner, man or woman, have a go at them in public, I think, you are a piece of work.
Mm. Okay.
I would have said men could handle being publicly humiliated better than women.
Do you really?
If it was a competition, yeah.
I wouldn't.
I'm just thinking of myself.
I think women, we internalise, but I think you guys...
Horrible.
No, absolutely. It's not something we're advocating. It was just an observation. No,
I've probably seen more women in tears in that situation, you know, where men have publicly humiliated their women.
And that's awful.
Yeah, that's awful.
But, you know, I don't want you to suggest either that men are potentially dangerous if publicly humiliated.
No, we're not all. It was just an observation.
This bloke's a dick anyway.
Okay, so the third thing, and this is from a female perspective, and I think a lot of guys could really learn from this if you hear exactly what I'm saying. The number one rule for women, I think, is that we just want to be considered. Not all the time, and we get that you're working really hard and that things, you've got a lot of pressure on you and you get in your head, but you just need to put us first once, because often what you don't see is when we're alone at home and sad. And that was certainly really reflected by Gabby. Yeah. Have a listen to this.
I think Nas is a very passionate man for a crowd, and I think, I'd love a snippet of that. I've actually just had this really sad moment at the table and...
And I'm just having this flashback to the last 4 years of being at barbecues and having to nod and smile and laugh along with couples. And here I'm looking on at a table, a dinner party, and I'm alone again.
And I guess what I say is that often happens. Mm. So just consider it, just a little bit.
You know, that's a good lesson. Blokes, think about, you know, right, when she's not around. Mm. Bit of a call, bit of a text occasionally can do the world of good, can't it?
You know what is sad for her, poor girl?
What?
He's a 50-year-old personal trainer. Now, that's really sad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No one needs a personal trainer in their life.
Still haven't got a job in your 50s.
Oh, feel the burn. Feel the burn.
It's the big breakfast.
Sucking the big ones.
Adelaide 500, the supercars start again for 2018. I think it's 9:15 this morning on Fox Sports, and one of the main men on Fox Sports coverage is supercars legend Mark Scaife. Morning, Scaife.
Morning, guys.
We love the supercars. A lot of smoke, noise and bumping doors. I'm a little bit confused. Are there still V8s going to be racing this weekend, or is it over to the V6 double turbos?
Every car has got a V8, and they will be V8s for a long time to come. Oh. So every car is still V8 powered. The V6 turbos will come in, sort of drip feed themselves as wildcard entries this year as sort of test or trial events. Mm. And then next year there'll be more of V6 turbos, but still many V8s will still be in the category even next year and the year after.
Oh, great. The sweet music of the V8s will still roar around the Adelaide circuit this weekend.
Exactly.
What about the Holdens? Because isn't this the first time that the European Holden is being kind of shown to Australia?
Yeah, so the big rollout this weekend. So the course cars and Marshall cars and stuff are the latest ZB Commodore, which is a European-based car that was made in Germany. And it's a good-looking car. It's a much more sort of contemporary-looking car. Marto, that's a siren in the background there. You get nervous every time a siren goes off, don't you?
Righto, Scaife.
Flush the chuff down the dunny, Marto.
Righto. Hey, mate, I'm just looking at a photo of Lounsey. Has he ordered a different coloured car? He's Autobahn now, is he?
Yeah. So he's actually got his own name in the team naming rights. So it's Autobahn Lounge Racing. So that's a sign of the times to come. He might even be a team owner in the future, Lounsey.
At the end of last season, Scaife, it ended with high drama. Scott McLaughlin finished in front. He won the Drivers' Championship. Then came the penalty. How do you see it unfolding in the first race of the season?
Well, what a mad end. I mean, crazy. You couldn't have scripted it. It was crazy, wasn't it? I don't think I've ever seen a wilder race. And to think how the year unfolded, McLaughlin had 16 pole positions and 8 wins. And conversely, Jamie Whincup had 4 wins and only 2 poles. And in the end, Whincup won the year. I'm hoping the rivalry stays on. I mean, Ben Gisbergen won this race last year. And I thought, wow, he's going to smash them. He's going to win this year easily. And as it turned out, it didn't end up like that. McLaughlin was just fantastic.
Hey, Scaife, just before we let you go, we're doing a Friday fun one where we pick songs that have got a driving theme because of what's happening in Adelaide this weekend. Did you ever listen to music in the cars?
No, not really. I know a lot of drivers, they've got their earplugs in before the start of sessions and they're doing all that stuff. I never had to resort to that. I don't know about you, Marta. Did you have to pump yourself up before you ran out?
Before, but not while it's going on.
I was always nervous enough without it.
Well, you always have people in the pits are yelling at you instructions and information these days. They can't listen to anything but them, can they?
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, in car racing land, the only song that was really ever properly sort of endorsed was King of the Mountain, and that was a Brock thing, wasn't it? Other than that, we're a bit behind on that stuff.
Marto used to listen to a bit of Freddie Mercury before going out.
Oh, yeah, right on, mate.
Don't stop me now.
Did he?
Don't stop me now. I'm having a good time.
Listen, let's not waste Scaife's time. He's on today, but the big race is race one tomorrow and race two on Sunday.
Well, it's a big year of motorsport on Fox Sports. It does kick off with the Adelaide 500 live ad break free. Plus, there's a new show, Scaife Supercars Trackside. That's going to be live after the race on Sunday. So looking forward to that. Have a wonderful call, and we'll talk to you soon, Scaife.
See you later, you lunatics.
Bye. Cheers, mate.
See ya. Bye.